I don't know how it has been this week for you guys, but this has been a spiritually trying week for me. Just one of, maybe it's been a couple of weeks, but this particular week has been just kind of dragging of the feet a little bit. I don't know why. I've been praying through it, binding, loosing, doing whatever it is I can. But this particular week for me has been just, let's just get through it. You know, even in the Word, if my eyes just aren't perceiving the words that I'm reading very well early in the morning, I'll just put headphones on, turn the Word on, and I'll turn it off when I feel I'm ready. And sometimes I'll go through a dozen chapters before that happens, or I'll re-listen to the same chapter about 10 times. And I've been doing that this week. Specifically, I've been listening to the same book, reading the same book probably easily in the last 2 weeks about 20 times. It's a short book. It's 1 Thessalonians, but it's a powerful one. I've done more underlining, more note-taking, more paraphrasing, more organizing of thoughts in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 than I think I have, except for Ephesians, of any other book. I haven't been able to get out of it, although I've been reading a lot of other stuff. And if I feel nothing else has just been working, I'll go back to 1 Thessalonians. And I think today alone, I've probably listened to it about 6 or 8 times. I've probably read through it a couple of times. And, it is full of so much. There was one thing in particular that really, really stood out to me. And that was in chapter 2. And I know I've seen it before, but it just did something for me this time. And it's chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. I love it when God shows me things. Couple weeks ago, one morning, just happened to wake up at the right side of the bed. I was getting into the Word. I must easily spent almost 2 hours in the Word. And I just had, 4 or 5 pages of notes. God was showing me some really neat things, taking me all through the Word. And even doing some reading in Genesis, this was all kind of on a different note same week, God was showing me some things I had never seen before, but I've probably read hundreds of times. And so I love it when he gives me little nuggets, little bits of revelation. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he showed me something. And I was going through Thessalonians. I'm like, okay, Lord, it's 5 chapters. I've listened to it. I've read it. I've underlined it. I've taken notes on it. I've pieced things together and where I see things fit and what relates. And he pointed out verse 19. It says, after all, let me make sure I get this into context. I'm going to start at verse 17 and then I'll read verse through verse 20 just so it's in some kind of context. It says, dear brothers and sisters, after we were separated from you for a little while, though our hearts never left you, we tried very hard to come back because of our intense longing to see you. We wanted very much to come, and I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. After all, what gives us hope and joy, and what is our proud reward and crown? It is you, yes. You will bring us much joy as we stand together before our Lord Jesus when he comes back again, for you are our pride and joy. And he was writing to the church in Thessalonica. And I really had to ponder those few verses of scripture and put it into context. Okay, who is he talking to? What is he saying? And what he's telling me, what I see he's saying is he poured himself out to this church. He poured himself out to these people. In another part of the book, it talks about, he goes on to talk about, and I think it's in either chapter 4, chapter 5, he talks about how hard he worked so that the people wouldn't be burdened by their by having to use their resources to support Paul and Silas and Timothy. And they'd work all day and teach and work and teach. And he poured out not only what he had of his word, but he poured out his life to these people. And he says, after all, what gives us hope and joy? What is our proud reward and crown? How many of us have asked ourselves, when just busy in life, what is it that I do that gives me hope and joy, and what is my proud reward and crown? Now, I'm sure we've all had jobs that we've gained a certain amount of pleasure in working, certain amount of enjoyment in working with the people, working in the environment, doing the tasks, whatever it is. I enjoy my job for the most part when I get to do it. But of all the jobs that I've had, and I've had some good ones, I've had some ones that I've really enjoyed, I don't think I could ever say that any of them has ever given me hope and joy and is a proud reward and crown for me. But there have been some relationships that I've had over the years that I can say, those have given me hope, and those have given me joy. And I've seen some of them as being rewards, as I've seen people who were not once a part of the kingdom of God become a part of the kingdom. Those that once lived in darkness, but now are living in light. And what I've come to realize as the body of Christ is we need to work. It is in us. God programmed us to work. But that is not where we're going to find, in our jobs per se, that is not where we're going to find our greatest hope and joy. It is going to be whatever God has called us to do relationally. Now, it could be at work that it occurs, but it's not going to be the job. It's not going to be the paycheck, as nice as it is. It's going to be when we're pouring ourselves out to other people. My greatest joy has been when I've been able to look back and say, God used me to impact that person, and that person's life has never been the same because I was obedient to the guiding of the Holy Spirit to do or say whatever it was that he had me do. There's a gentleman, Arturo, I think is his name. His family lives in Frontera. Is it Frontera or Fronteras? Frontera. But I guess between there, Douglas, and Tucson, where he's got some family, he seems to reside here. I suppose he has a home somewhere, but it doesn't seem like he's really working. And I had the opportunity to bless him, and I've since had about two or three just crossing interactions with him. And the first time I saw him, he just looked down and out. He was just beat up, beat down, worn out. Still had a smile on his face, but I can tell he really had to force it on there. And the last two encounters I've had with him, it just seems like he's transforming right before my eyes. And I've prayed for him a number of times, you know, asking God that he would take care of him. And I haven't had an opportunity to really share with him, or should I say I have not taken the opportunity. I need to be a little bit more obedient and flexible with my time. But the last time I saw him, which was a couple of days ago, he looked right at me. He smiled, said hi, and it brought joy to my life to see joy in his face. He stopped me a week ago and said, you know, I was with my family in Tucson and you know, this and this and getting some things worked out. And I left just feeling good knowing that God's doing a work in his life. And I know this is just a little, I was going to use the word manini, but that in Hawaiian that means tiny or small. A common word to use, I apologize. But a little manini example of what God has us do. And I know that there are dozens, if not hundreds, of experiences that we have had over our lifetime that we could say, yeah, God used me there. Yeah, I was available at the right time, and that brings us joy. And this brought Paul joy, knowing that not only did he make an impact, but he said Timothy went back to make sure that these people did not fall into any sort of deception. And he brought a message back to Paul saying that this church thinks very highly of them, that they think very fondly of their experience with Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And I thought about it. I thought, how many of us are evaluating our lives by the ministry we're doing, the impact that we're having on other people? You know, what is it we're called to? Why is it we're really here? I heard somebody use the word busy earlier. And I've gotten to the point where I still use it, but I would much rather use the word productive, hoping that I'm actually being productive. Because I could be busy doing absolutely nothing. Sometimes I feel that way. And sometimes I don't feel like I'm doing much, but I feel like I'm getting a lot done. I like that particular feeling. In John chapter 4, verse 31 through 34, Jesus says something that's ultimately profound. This is one of those examples of how when someone says, well, that book was just written by man, no man would ever write this. No man could ever come up with some of the things that Jesus or some of the things that are said in this word. No man's creative enough. And here's one example of that. In John chapter 4, starting in verse 31, Jesus had been talking with the Samaritan woman, and he'd been telling her all sorts of things that no one else, that he shouldn't have known. And it says in verse 31, it says, meanwhile, the disciples were urging him. They'd just come back, and the disciples were urging him to eat. He said, no. No man would ever write that. This had to be inspired. No, he said, I have food you don't know about. Now, it was the middle of the day. I'm sure he was hungry. But full of the Holy Spirit, he said, I have food you don't know about. Who brought it to him? The disciples asked each other. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment, and I would even use the word, you could use the word satisfaction, but my nourishment comes from doing the will of God, who sent me, and from finishing his work. Now that could not have been written by man. That is something that had to have come out of Jesus' mouth. My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. And I just see that so in line with what Paul had said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says, after all, what gives us hope and joy and what is our proud reward and crown? It is you. Yes. You will bring us much joy as we stand together before our Lord Jesus when he comes back again. For you are our pride and joy. Somehow I feel like Paul was saying the same thing Jesus said. My greatest satisfaction is doing my Father's business. A song just popped into my head. Maybe one of you knew who wrote it. Can't get no satisfaction. Don't remember who wrote it. But anyways, the melody is in my head now. But Jesus' greatest satisfaction, Paul's greatest satisfaction, was doing the work of God. Jesus was more in tune with the desire of his spirit to be about his Father's business than what his stomach was telling him. God, I want to be there. Oh, growing in maturity. Hallelujah. That we would be at the place where we would be more in tune with our spirit than we would with our flesh. That the things of the spirit would be more real to us than the things of the flesh. That our sensitivity to our spirit would be so high that when our spirit is aching to spend time with God or is so yearning to go share with someone, that we would be more in tune with that than whatever it is we're feeling in our heads or feeling in our bodies or feeling in our emotions or whatever it may be. Let's flip over to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to look at a few verses of scripture. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 1, verses starting in verse 20. I pray tonight that our reality, let me rephrase that. I pray tonight that our spiritual awareness and our spiritual sensitivity and our hunger for the things of God would be greater tonight than they have ever been, ever. That our desire to accomplish kingdom business would be greater than our desire to accomplish the business at our job or the business in our home. And those are important, not that we neglect them, but that we would put more emphasis on the kingdom business because we're investing into our eternity. Starting in verse 20, it says, "For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past." Whoa. I'm going to read that again. "For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past." God, help me with that. "And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ whether I live or die." This should be a prayer for us. This ought to be a daily prayer. Lord, I pray that I would have full expectation and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for you from this day forward. And I trust that my life will bring you honor whether I live or die. For me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, bless you, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I am torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which is far better for me. But for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so that I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. And when I come to you again, you will have even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because of what he is doing through me. I pray that that is an example that I grow into that others can say about me. That because I am around and that I am making an impact in someone else's life, that they would say, and when that you, that they have had even more reason to take pride in their relationship because of what I've been doing. Let's look at verse 25 for a moment. It says, "Knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so that I continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith." This is verse 25. This really jumped out to me. How many of us have viewed our lives and our purpose for being here as helping others grow and experience the joy of their faith? How many fewer people, if we were truly doing this as the body of Christ, how many fewer people would we ever hear say, "I lost my faith. I don't know what happened. I just lost my faith." The more we find joy in something, the more likely we are to remain in it. The more we find joy in something, the more we are willing to invest in it. For whatever it is that each person in here has as a hobby, things that you just enjoy doing, it is not laborious to go and do it. You know, maybe it's baking. Maybe it's painting. Maybe it's building something. Maybe it's going for bike rides or whatever it may be. When you experience joy in something, you're more likely to invest what you have, your time, your energy, your resources, your money, whatever it may be, into developing that. And we as the body of Christ, what Paul's telling us here is it is our job, it is our duty to help others grow and experience the joy of their faith. As we're building each other up, we're going to experience joy in our faith. Which means we probably won't be saying, "Well, because of this or because of that, I lost my faith." The loss or decline of something comes from the neglect, not from the investment. If we're neglecting something, we're more likely to lose interest in it. If we're neglecting our own faith, we're more likely to see less value in it. If we're neglecting our relationship with God, we're less likely to be, I was going to use the word offended, but that's not right, to be angry or upset when somebody's taking or something's taking our time away from God. You know, if we have a set time and Satan comes and brings distractions, could be an individual, could be a situation, could be a circumstance, whatever it may be, we should get angry with him and say, this is my time with God. There's value in what we invest in. If it's us investing in our relationship with God, there's value in that. And therefore, more than likely than not, there's going to be joy in whatever that is. I am finding more and more and more joy in spending time in the Word the longer and the more I spend time in the Word. The more I invest in it, the more I realize I need to be in it more. The more time I spend with Denise, the more I realize I need more of that time. And when we're apart for whatever reason it is, I'm not experiencing joy because I'm missing it, because I need it. When I'm not investing or I'm not putting the time into my relationship with God, I can sense it, and many times so can others around me. Maybe I'm a little crabbier. Maybe I'm a little shorter on the fuse. Maybe I just don't want to be around anyone because I know they're not going to want to be around me. But that I would experience joy in my faith and that I would be doing my part to help you grow and experience the joy of your faith goes in line with one of my overquoted and ultimately favorite scriptures in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 16. And you don't even need to turn to it. I'm just going to read it. Actually, starting in verse 15, it says, instead, we hold to the truth in love, becoming more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly as each part, I'm emphasizing the each because every one of us have our own part. We don't sit around and let what we think to be the more important parts do their part, and we could sit and enjoy the ride. As each part does its own special work, thereby meaning every part is special and every work is special, it helps the other parts grow so the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sorry, I just noticed something that I didn't want to miss. My apologies, but when God shows you something, sometimes you just need to jump on it. Hallelujah. Sorry about that, but didn't want to miss out on that one. I made the decision when I was 5, so maybe I did at the time. But I was going to say, I didn't make the decision to follow Christ for me, although at the time, I'm sure it probably was. But when I was 18, when I was 23, but when I was 18, I took some time to be very introspective as an adult and say, okay, Eric, are you going to continue your walk of faith because of your parents? Because that's how you were raised, because that's what you know? Or are you going to continue your walk of faith and your relationship with God because that is the way that you know to please God, the way to have eternal life, the way to have a prosperous life? And I had to decide for myself at 18. I made that choice and I said, I will follow God because I know that Jesus is the way. I know there's an eternity and I want to spend it with him. And so I have chosen that it is no longer my parents' faith. It's no longer my parents' relationship. It's no longer my parents' religion. It's mine. I took ownership of it. Now then, I was tested over the next 5 years and I had some serious blunders. But I always knew in that 5 years and longer that God was there regardless of what I was doing. His word says, even when we're not faithful, he's faithful. And I had to make that choice. And I had to decide, Lord, even when I mess up, I know you're still there and I know you're still faithful. Some of the greatest miracles in the material realm in my life occurred within those 5 years. And the truth of the matter is, it was only by God's grace did he provide those things, because I sure didn't deserve it. I had thought about that some years back, and I thought, you know what, some of the greatest miracles and turnarounds in my life were at a point in time where I wasn't walking fully faithful, totally committed. And I was humbled that even when I wasn't faithful, he was. And I've had to decide as I have progressed and I have worked to mature myself that I am not saved and I do not have a relationship with God because that's what's just best for me. That I have to do it because there are others depending on my faith. God said we are vessels that he wants to work through. He didn't create a vessel so he could sit it on a shelf and make it look pretty. He created us so that we can do whatever that work is that he designed us to do. And in this particular case, it's so that we can help others grow and experience the joy of their faith. And I know I could be doing a whole lot better job of that. Hallelujah. I have a whole lot more here, but I think it's going to carry into next service's message on Sunday. Taking it a step further, but I just want to make sure I didn't really miss anything that God had tonight. I'm going to share one verse, and I'll end up sharing this verse on Sunday as well. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. Something God had showed me, and I'm not going to go into the key scripture that he revealed this to me, but in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, it says, "The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls." The fruit of righteousness, and righteousness, best way I can explain righteousness, is God's way of doing things. Doing what pleases God. The fruit of doing what pleases God, doing things God's way, is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. Jesus went on a little bit further, and I didn't read into it, in John chapter 4, where he tells the disciples, he was talking about the harvest. He says, "You didn't plant, but the harvest is plenty right now." And he spent a couple extra days there, did a bunch of miracles. Most of the town ended up believing that he was the Messiah, the coming Christ, the coming Savior. And Jesus wanted to show his disciples what a harvest looked like. And God has shown us what our harvest is. And if we're wise, as it says here, we're going to make our purpose to win souls. And I'm just going to close this last scripture just because I love it. It's in Psalms chapter 1. And kind of goes in line with the first part. It says, "The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life." Now, I'm going to read the first three verses. It says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with scoffers, but they delight in doing everything the Lord wants." We can paraphrase it and say, and they delight in doing righteous works, living righteously. Day and night they think about his law or his word. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season without fail. You know what I think is amazing in this valley that we live in? I don't know if it's really a valley per se. Is it what we call it? Valley? Is the San Pedro River. If you didn't know, if you were flying over and you did not know that that was the San Pedro River, just by looking at it, you would know there was a river there. Because there's just this line of green trees that goes for miles. And it is so obvious, even if you can't see the water, that there's a river. There is a source of flowing water right there. Isn't that how God wants us to be? That people can look at us from a distance and without even hearing what we're saying necessarily or having some kind of relationship with us, they could look at us and say, something about you, something different. You're a little greener than others. There's a little bit more life in you than others that I've been around. I want to get closer to you. I want to know what you have because you look a whole lot greener. You look a whole lot more alive. They don't even have to necessarily see the fruit of our life right away to be able to perceive the peace that surpasses all understanding that fills us, the joy that emanates from, that permeates our body, that comes out, that flows from us. That we can be like those trees planted by rivers of living water, that their leaves never wither, and in all they do, they prosper, and that they bear fruit each season without fail, because that is what God has designed us for. Until Sunday, part two, glory to God, I just want to close in a word of prayer. I hope you guys got something out of this tonight. I have been blessed by the study that God has had me in the harvest of righteousness, which we'll be talking about on Sunday. What is the fruit of righteousness or the harvest of righteousness look like? But he's had to remind me of what my primary focus ought to be, and that is building others up, and that I would help others experience the joy of their faith. Now, it's not solely dependent on what we do. You know, they have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to our relationship with God. But as a part of the body, we do have a certain amount of responsibility to help build up the other person in whatever capacity that we can. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. I thank you for the study of your word, for the revelation, for your Holy Spirit making your word life to us. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are showing us our ultimate and our primary purpose for being on this earth, our primary purpose for being a part of the body of Christ. I thank you, Lord, where it says that I am not ashamed of your word, that I am not ashamed of you. I pray, Lord, that we would have that new and refreshed boldness to represent you, to talk to others about who you are, to share your word with others, whether they know you or not. Father, I pray, Lord, that new boldness would bubble up from the inside of us, Father, that you would help us to step outside of ourselves, step outside of our egos, step outside of our insecurities, step outside of our weaknesses and the battles in our minds. And Lord, that we would be led by your Spirit, and that we would be like those trees planted by rivers of living water, that we would produce fruit without fail. And Lord, that our leaves would never wither. Father, I thank you, Lord, that as we draw closer to you, that the world around us would perceive you through us. Your word says that we were made in your image, in your likeness. And I pray, Lord, that the world would see us as they see you. Love. That we would permeate love. That love would follow us wherever we go. That joy would fill every room we enter. That peace would inhabit the places that we're in. I pray, Lord, that we are a change to each environment we go into. And that we would be the change makers. Thank you, Lord, for working through us to do your kingdom business. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, glory to God. That's all I had. Does anybody have anything, any announcements, anything? Well, be blessed. I hope you got something out of this word tonight. Hallelujah.